Oh, hi, podcast listeners. There's many ways you can listen to the Real Nerds Podcast. You can subscribe on iTunes. You can also subscribe on Stitcher Radio. You want to send us a Twitter message? You can do that. It's so easy, at Real Nerds. Like us on Facebook, Real Nerds Podcast. You can visit our website, realnerdspodcast.com, where there'll be a lot of articles for you to not only read, but to listen to our previous shows. Do you like your stories told through pictures? Then you can also follow us at Real Nerds on Instagram. You can also call us, 720-6NERDS5. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Camera, action!
Well, a real nerd knows who shot, and a real nerd can follow the plot, and a real nerd
doesn't
can...
Doesn't talk film! I'm sorry.
Take it outside.
Well, a real nerd knows who shot, and a real nerd can follow the plot, and a real nerd will give it all they got. Lights, camera, action!
Hey, all you cool cinema lovers. That was a really weird way to introduce us.
Yeah, what's wrong with you?
I don't know. This is a Real Nerds Podcast, where every week we see a new movie and we podcast our experience to the world. This week, we saw a Minecraft movie. Stay tuned, where we'll recommend the film or not, play the trailer, then spoil the movie. We also talk about the big movie news of the week and stuff we watch throughout the week. You know, just give people a recap of the movies we like or movies that caught our fancy, you know? Have you ever thought about how many movies you've actually seen in your lifetime, Brad?
Yeah, all the time. It's easier now to think about when you have Letterboxd, but
yeah,
there's no record of that before that. So, yeah, I always wonder, what did I really... I clearly watched more before now, so...
Yeah, it's a weird... Because sometimes you've seen so many movies that you think you haven't seen a movie, and as you're watching it, you say, man, I have seen this movie.
No, that's a rare one for me.
That happened with me. I think it has. So when I thought I owned this movie, it's an old Hammer movie. It's not The Mummy. It's The Blood from the Mummy's Tomb, which is, I don't know what version of The Mummy it is they have. But I got it a while ago when it... you know, when Shout Factory does their like huge sale and it's like, I don't know, probably $10. And I said, man, I've seen this movie, and I got it, and I'm looking on the back and I said, man, I swear I have seen this movie. But when I look at my Letterboxd account, I don't have a rating for it. So I don't know. I'm thinking I'm going to watch soon just to put my mind at ease, because every time I see it, it kind of gives me a panic attack. Like, I know I've seen this movie.
Maybe it's just like, it's so simple, like the movie is actually really similar, you know, like those old monster movies, they kind of copied and pasted a lot of stuff. So maybe it just like feels like that because it is trying to emulate another movie you have seen.
You know, it could be. I mean, in so much that I don't know how many Hammer horror films you've seen, but they have a lot of like monster movies. You're right, like where they don't really follow the previous monster movie, and it's kind of a remake. I mean, it quite possibly could be. And we'll see. I don't know. It'll be an interesting time for me when I watch it. And I don't know when that aha moment will come, but it might come. Anyways, how are you? I haven't talked to you in a while. It seems like you've been pretty busy.
Yeah, I went to Portland last week and...
Oh, shit. Didn't know that.
Came back to... more stuff to do and had a headache on Thursday that just took me out all day. So,
what did you go to Portland for?
I was helping a friend move.
Oh, so that, did you do anything like cool out there though?
Yeah, obviously went to see movies. So.
Nice.
Which, yeah, that's your first choice when you go to Portland. No, there's some really cool theaters out there.
Is there? I don't even know. I went there a while ago when our friend Cliff got married, and that's the only time I've ever been there.
Me too. I didn't recognize it, you know?
Hmm.
I think we were in a different part of Portland, but, again, like the only thing I remembered was that huge bridge, in the middle of
it. Yeah. Actually, so. I let me recant that a little bit. I did go out there for training for my job about 5 years ago. or maybe not, maybe 4 years ago. And I went to Powell's because I thought that was like such a cool bookstore.
Yeah, Powell's Books. Yeah, I think maybe we, because there's like the center and then like the areas divided by, you know, the river.
Yeah.
So I think for Cliff's thing, we kind of just spent time in the center downtown thing. And so I spent more time in the suburbs, I guess, if you call them suburbs. But yeah, they have some like really cool old, you know, Mayan style theaters out there.
No, that's awesome.
The main one I was expecting to go to, the Hollywood Theater, which is like built, I think, at the same time as the Bug, 1912. We were going to double feature, but like missed it. Like it just didn't work out. So where I did go was the Academy Theater, and they were playing The Conversation, the Gene Hackman movie from years and years ago. And it flooded while we were there.
Oh, no.
Yeah, sad. But yeah, is the that theater is like a gorgeous, you know, Esquire style theater. They have like local art hung up to like buy and stuff in the lobby. What else? Like it's like the classic, just like no stadium seating seats. And yeah, when we're done, we're like we finished the movie. I looked at the ground, like there's a huge puddle here.
Wow.
And then yeah, we were gonna see Princess Mononoke, which was in the main theater that flooded, but we were in The Conversation, which is just like adjacent. So yeah, it's like if we'd been in the main Mononoke theater, we'd probably have been like submerged a bit.
Dang.
But that's sad. You don't want to see like
no
an old theater like that go through expensive.
Yeah, hopefully like they'll they have insurance and it can cover the, you know, having someone come out there and I guess do shop vacuum all the water out and then just replace the carpet and the seats probably, or I don't know what you do.
Yeah. I mean, the thing too, it must happen a lot because they already had like that ready to go. Like when we were leaving, someone had like the water vac and everything going. So yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. Hey, this week we saw a Minecraft movie. Brad, did you recommend a Minecraft movie?
Yeah, it's pretty fun. I don't really know that much about Minecraft. I know it's a game and it's been really popular and you build stuff, but like other than that, like I don't know the characters or the story of the game or anything. So everything I watched was just like an introduction to Minecraft, and it was pretty fun. And obviously, like all the 80s nerd references, all the game culture in it was like, you know, just tickles. What I like about games and that stuff. So, and it's directed by, as a sense of humor of Napoleon Dynamite. So that's great too.
Yeah, I'm totally on the same boat with you. It's definitely better than I thought it was going to be. My son plays Minecraft and I still don't know anything about it. I mean, I knew the basics, you know, just like you, I knew it was world building. There's zombies in it, but I don't know, you know, the rules of the zombies coming out or the, Ender, whatever it is. But yeah, I had a lot of fun. And yeah, you're right. The humor of Napoleon Dynamite kind of seeps in at a few places.
Yeah. It's not as weird, but it,
yeah.
It,
yeah. And I'll talk about after we, play the trailer for a Minecraft movie.
In the overworld,
wow.
Anything you can dream about, you can create.
So they built all this?
Yeah, most of it.
Hola.
That thing doesn't understand a word you're saying.
We're talking.
Life here was perfect. Until one day, Flint and Steel, we came across the Nether.
A place with no joy or creativity at all.
You!
What are you making?
Oh!
If they get their way,
This beautiful world and everything in it will wither and die.
Biocon Dios. It means goodbye, brother.
No, it doesn't.
Don't look at her.
It does. If we want to save this world, creativity is key to survival.
Now what? Elytra wingsuits.
Bye-bye.
Those things work, right?
Absolutely.
Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry.
This place makes no sense. Let's do this.
They want me to fight the chicken?
Chicken jockey!
Oh no, not again. Oh my God, oh my God, are you all right? Your head is huge.
A Minecraft movie stars Jack Black as Steve. I did know that Steve was the character you are in the movie, or in the game. You're like the guy who builds stuff, and his name's Steve.
Okay.
And he always wanted to be a miner, but he wasn't allowed because no kids are allowed in mines, which is a funny little joke.
And not and true then, if you follow history.
Yeah, no doubt. But yeah, I guess this was after child labor laws. So,
yeah.
And he finds this cube that opens up a portal that takes him to the Minecraft over world or map or whatever they call it in the game. Again, I still don't know the some of the vernacular of this world, but I did have a lot of fun with it. You know, so Steve is stuck there for a while, and he's kidnapped by the evil pig people. What are their names? I don't even remember.
Yep.
And his little wolf dog takes the cube because the leader of the wolf people wants it, or pig people want it. And he goes back into the real world, and he leaves it at this home where it's not found for a few years until what's the kid's name in it finds it, and then he goes on a journey.
At Henry.
That time, we're introduced to Jason Momoa's character, who I think what's the bad guy's name in The King of Kong?
Oh,
Billy something, right?
Billy Mitchell.
Yeah, he's a kind of a parody of Billy Mitchell, I guess.
Yeah, Garrettson or something.
Yeah, resting on the laurels of his championship 1980s video game conquering stuff. And he doesn't have any friends, and he's about to lose all his little shop he has. That's like a retro video game shop.
Yeah, it's called the Game Over World, by the way.
Which is cool. Yeah. And so he teams up with that I should just get their characters' names right, so I'm just trying to guess.
Henry and Natalie and Dawn.
Yeah, they end up going to the overworld, and there they have to find Steve and stop the world from being overtaken by the pig people. And that's pretty much the premise of the movie. You know, I was into this movie because I thought what I did like, sometimes when you have a character like Jack Black Steve that does a lot of exposition, you know, it takes me out of the movie. But for some reason, Jack Black's commitment to the role and how he delivered, you know, all the exposition so we understood the world worked for me.
Yeah.
Because I think you need someone with that much energy to tell you about how, you know, the intricacies of the world.
Yeah, like I was actually sitting there going like, really, is he telling, like he's just explaining everything about the movie to us. But yeah, the way he does it is such a fun way that I didn't mind it.
Because even, you know, he has a couple songs. I can't remember the song for when the chicken is being made.
Yeah.
But I remember my whole theater was going crazy when he did that. And of course, I mean, I didn't experience the people throwing popcorn and screaming during Chicken Jockey. But I do know my theater was clapping and having fun with it. But was your theater a raucous one, Brad?
So I went to two theaters for this because, like the first one I got in, like all day, I was like, okay, I'm going to go see Minecraft here. And like no seats got taken in this theater up until showtime. I was like, how is there no one here for this? Like it's, I know it's like 10:30, but still it's like the weekend. There's gotta be kids here. And sure enough, like right as I'd sat through all the trailers and the movie was about to start, this group of like 15 teens just talking through the hallway, talking as they sat down, laughing it up. And I was like, no, not today. And so I went to the one 20 minutes later, 10:50, and there was like four or five other people spread out. So I was like, okay, this is better. But there's still like this group of like three teen dudes that were kind of rowdy, but no one threw popcorn or anything. It was just like, and for the most part, they shut up throughout the movie. But yeah, that first one, I was like, oh, here we go. Here's the popcorn throwers.
Yeah.
Like they're just so rowdy, like before the movie even started.
Yeah. You know, it's definitely a, I'm okay with stuff like that because it seems like it's transcended, you know, pop culture. But I would also would want to see the movie sterile without that in it so I can absorb the movie. But, you know, it's I think they should if I was a movie theater operator, I would actually have specific times where people could do that. And I'd call it like a Chicken Jockey party, movie party or something, you know?
Yeah, man. Like for them, it's their Star Wars, right? So I can't be like, I want to sit here and learn the movie. Be quiet.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like people work there and they're not well staffed. And it's like you just made their life so horrible.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why I would have if you had specific times and people would know, hey, I should go to this one. If I want to do like the Rocky Horror kind of, or the Room where you throw stuff, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, I didn't know, you know, Jason Momoa is really funny in this film too. He, kind of just goes through it all and, he just fully embraces how goofy he is. And it's fun to watch.
Yeah. Well, I think he's like a big nerd in real life. So.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, so for me, Brad, I don't know if it was for you, the part that I just, took me straight into Napoleon Dynamite was the teacher at the high school where he's like really weird.
Oh yeah.
And when Henry kid does the, I don't know, the rocket pack that crashes into the potato factory and then he just turns and runs away. I thought it was funny. So it was just fun. Yeah. So just a little bit of seeing just embracing the goofiness, I think, really helped the film.
Yeah, even earlier, like when he's at the storage unit and Jemaine Clements, like, I don't know, talking like with all the other like pawn guys or whatever.
Yeah.
Like that. Like every time there's like a new character, it just feels like that character is born out of Napoleon Dynamite, you know?
Correct. Yeah.
Like there's just like some weird element they've added to them. Like it can't just be a guy who runs a storage unit. It's like, it's like a New Zealander with a Texas accent, you know. Yeah, his teacher has like this really long curly hair.
Yeah, like, and even I can't remember her name right now. Stifler's mom,
Jennifer Coolidge.
Yeah, even her character arc is so weird, but for some reason works.
Yeah, it's like it's not essential to the story at all, but it's just an excuse to like get that character in the real world something to do, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. It doesn't mean anything. Nothing happens with it. But for some reason, it's just weird and totally out of place in the movie.
Yeah, it's like, is this ever going to tie back into what the other characters are doing? But nope. It's just like it leads to a post-credit scene.
Yeah, and the only tie back is a curly-haired teacher is her ex-husband.
Yeah, which I knew because of the names like early on. So like it wasn't a surprise. She says his name, like, yeah.
Yeah, just, but overall, just, you know, a fun movie. And it looks cool. You know, they did a nice job of realizing the Minecraft world, I thought.
Yeah, like, the actual characters, like, looked, like, there's parts of the movie where, like, they look really real. Like,
yeah.
They're not just, even though they're, like, all square and stuff. Like, I think the part where, like, Malgasha, the pig lady, villain, like, she's walking through this underground cavern or something to get to Steve. And I was like, that almost looks like people wearing suits, like, of this stuff. Like, it's really rendered really well.
Yeah, you know, now that I'm thinking about it, that one pig general guy, he's kind of a quirky character for being a henchman.
Yeah, General Chungus. Yeah, that's the director.
Yeah. Yeah, just, he seems out of place from the rest of the evil pig guys.
Yeah, which, I don't think he's like that in the game, if he's even a game character, but...
Oh, yeah, I have no idea.
Definitely feels like a manifestation of, like, the Napoleon Dynamite humor aesthetic. And then also when Jack Black defeats Malgasha and she just keeps trying to stab him, he just like knocks the sword away each time.
Yeah.
Like, I really shouldn't look back and I'll do it anyway.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, that kind of humor, it carries me through these movies because, you know, for a kid's movie to be unique, it needs something like that, where it works for the kids. Like, my son loved this movie because, you know, he relates to all the Minecraft stuff and, you know, they're building the world and, you know, when the sun goes down, that's when the zombies come out. And, but for me, I need that, oddball humor and to make it unique.
Yeah. So no surprise, I did fall asleep a little bit.
So why do you always fall asleep in movies, Brad? Is it just your like comfort because you have nothing else going on?
No, I think I'm like, you know, I did the 48-hour film project again, then I went to Portland, then I came back and I did some bug stuff, and so I've been squeezing all these movies, you know, 10 p.m. ish, and I underestimated how tired I'd have been, because spoiler, I saw The Drop for like 5 minutes, and then like awoke periodically and then dip back out again. Anyway, but like, so I have a question. Like, obviously, like, Steve and Garrett kind of become besties by the end of the movie. Like, what was that turning point?
Man, let's see. He realizes that Garrett is a great builder and he can, his crafting of things is really good. So he sees a lot of himself in it. And he realizes that there's more to life than just being alone.
I'm worried I did miss a huge chunk because I don't remember seeing Garrett build anything.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's obviously a reference to the game, and he used recipes to make weapons and.
Oh, yeah. He did build those nunchucks,
potions, and things like that.
But when I saw him building the nunchucks, they were rejected initially.
Yeah. No, he helped in the last fight building stuff, and yeah, that's about it. There wasn't like anything earth shattering.
Cool.
So go see the Minecraft movie. It's fun.
Also, what did because the dog Dennis, he ends up going away with the family, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
What was that? Like, what prompted? Like, I assume Jack Black or Steve, like, initially rejected the idea earlier in the movie, but then he came around by the end of Dennis moving on, or did that just like show up at the end?
Yeah, it just showed up at the end.
Oh, okay.
Because he had a bond with the kid, if I remember right. I don't think I fell asleep in it.
It was just weird because, like, yeah, he spends like most of the movie being like, I gotta get back to Dennis. Like, that's his whole motivation. But then after he defeats Malgasha and like they're all hanging out, he's just like, Yeah, you should go with them. It's like, I didn't see a question proposed about whether.
I think it's more of just to have Dennis to have, you know, a family to live with. And then, you know, I mean, Steve ends up coming back too. And then he meets, I forget the lady's name in the game, you can pick too, but that's who he met at the door at the end.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Just I just recognized her from her wardrobe, but I can't remember her
face.
Yeah, because I don't remember her name, but they did a good job of giving me enough of her red hair and her green shirt and the shoulder pad things, you know. So I'm not that dense when it comes to the world of world of Minecraft.
Now you say it like I am now making the connection between Jack Black and the character that's on the cover of the box art. he just doesn't have a beard, so I think that's what threw me off. But yeah, I kind of hate that there's like all this other like pigs and zombie stuff. Like I just want to build shit. I see all those videos of like people being like, "Hey, I recreated the entire city of Denver in Minecraft." I'm like, yeah, oh, I want to do that. But if
I don't
like,
think you have to have all the other stuff. I think there's like a free build
mode.
Yeah, Kellen goes on and I won't pay for it, but there's a lot of stuff like that where you can pay for weather effects and just build, you know, a town. Or I remember Kellen built this one where it's just a bunch of sheep and like this peaceful town, and that's all you do. There's a bunch of sheep and villagers around it. So, yeah. I mean, you can do it. I don't know how you do it, and I've never sat down and played it, but I mean, it's the most popular video game in the world. I think it's sold the most of any video game ever.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, like I want to sit down and build an Esquire, but I don't want like zombies ruining my shit while I do it.
Yeah, I think there's a way to do it because I when I watch Kellen play, I don't remember the zombies popping up unless he does like. Yeah, there's a couple modes. I know there's one where it's Battle World or whatever, and then the zombies and stuff constantly come. Corinne sent us something this week in a new segment of her old segment called Showtime.
Hey, nerds. Corinne here for another installment of Showtime, where I typically talk about something cool I've been watching lately. This week, I'm more just checking in, letting you guys know I'm still around. I don't go to the movie theaters much anymore. There hasn't been a lot out lately that I've wanted to see. Last thing I saw was Captain America Brave New World, and that was pretty lackluster. I didn't care to see Snow White. I did want to see Paddington in Peru. I'm going to try to see that here, well, sometime soon. I don't know. But yeah, so I haven't actually been watching a lot of TV lately. I've mostly been watching basketball. But I guess I'll recommend my current rotation of TV shows. It's weird how it worked out because I have like a new episode drops like almost every day of the week. Monday I have an anime that y'all don't care about. But Tuesdays is a new episode of it's a sitcom on NBC called St. Denis Medical. I might have talked about it before, but it's very much like The Office but set in a hospital. It's in its first season. And it's pretty good. I think it's a little rough around the edges, but there have definitely been some episodes and some moments that have made me laugh out loud. So I think it is eventually going to be like an Abbott Elementary level show. It's just like it's in that first season. That's a little rough, but I think it'll get there. It's pretty good. So, yeah. And then on Wednesdays, that's when the new episode of Abbott Elementary comes out. We're nearing the end of the season, apparently. There's only like 3 or 4 more episodes left until the season finale, but I think they have greenlit another season, so that's good. Yeah, fantastic show. Highly recommend it. It's very, I feel like it's, everybody uses the same like mockumentary style of like, it's The Office, but it's set in, you know, insert name of place. And it's like, this at least is The Office, but set in an elementary school. But it is in its fourth season, and it's on ABC. Fantastic writing, acting, the cast is phenomenal. I mean, I laugh out loud. The way it works out, I end up watching it by myself on Wednesday nights. And then my roommate and I, because she's usually out doing stuff on Wednesday, so she can't watch it with me. But later in the week, she and I watch it together. So even though I'm watching it twice in a week, I still have fun with it. It's a blast. Yeah, I've really enjoyed this fourth season so far. And then Thursday nights, usually when there's not basketball, usually is the new episode of CBS Ghosts. It's also in its fourth season, And I feel like this fourth season has been a little hit and miss. Some episodes have been like really, really good, solid, but some of the episodes have been kind of weak. Especially like the first, I bitch about this already, but there was this 3-episode arc at the very beginning of the season with this new character named Patience, who is a Puritan. The premise is that this couple owns like a bed and breakfast in like upstate New York, and all the ghosts who have ever died on the property are still lingering around, and the main gal, Sam, she can see them, but her husband, Jay, cannot. And so they're always bringing in new ghosts, and then just like kind of silently they fade into the background. It's like, oh, somebody died on the property, and we don't see them again for like, you know, 10 episodes, and then they'll come back in for 1 episode, and then we won't see them again for a whole season. But yeah, with Patience, it was like, she's this ghost who's been wandering around in the dirt for hundreds of years, and then she just randomly comes back for 3 episodes. She was really dumb. And then she was like, yeah, no, I'm going to go back into the dirt. And I was like, thank God, because I did not like her at all. I was really hoping, like, sometimes the show, so the premise is like, it's people who have died on the property, but they can go, either they can go up to heaven or they can go down to hell, depending on how it all plays out. And they call it getting sucked off when they go up to heaven. Or they call it, like, going down on us when they go down to hell. And we have seen people both, you know, both get sucked off and go down on them. but we haven't seen a lot of that recently. And I really think, like, the cast is so bloated now with all of these. Like, they have the 2 humans and then the 8 main ghosts in the cast. And then they kind of rotate in, like, background ghosts. Or just kind of like one-off ghosts or whatever. And I'm like, even the background ghosts, like there are so many ghosts on the property now. I think some people are going to have to start getting sucked off soon. they got to move on. So some of these people are going to have to be moving on soon, because this is getting ridiculous of how many ghosts are on this property. But we only ever see the same 8 of them in the house. But yeah, so yeah, my roommate and I, we both watch the show and we both love it, but we agree that season 4 has been kind of lackluster. I think it's also been like I can't remember if season 2 was a full season, because season 1 might have been shortened, and then I know season 3 was shortened because of the writers and actor strikes. So I can't remember if this is like the first full season of the show, but it's like one of the few that they've had. And so maybe that doesn't help somehow, but yeah. Anyway, it's still a good show. I do recommend it, especially those earlier seasons, man, they were just like fire. And I don't know if it's just the writing is getting weaker. They're just having to come up with more like absolutely ridiculous ideas to keep things going. Some of them have been good. Some of them have not, but yeah. Anyway, that's my Thursday night show is Ghosts. So, yeah. Just wanted to share that with you all. Check in. Ryan lent me a Cary Grant movie, The Eagle and the Hawk, from 1932, something like that. So I will be checking that out and getting back to you with my thoughts on that next time. Until then, keep it real, nerds. Bye.
Thank you, Corinne, for sending that to us. You know, she's talking about TV again, and that she's watching basketball. And
speaking of basketball, she hasn't
watched too many movies. I know she was talking about getting rid of her Regal pass, or she may have already gotten rid of it.
Why?
She says she doesn't go to movies enough.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, for a real nerd, she doesn't embrace what we do, where we give every movie a chance. She won't go see a movie that she's not interested in.
That's the whole point of the Regal Pass, is to go see movies you're not interested in.
Exactly. And that's actually, I got my cousin, I was talking to him. He used to have an AMC one. And because he lives by you, kind of. He actually lives off University in C470. But he would go to the AMC, you know, at Highlands Ranch. And he says, I guess he canceled it because they raised the price to $27 a month.
The Regal one?
No, AMC Stubs or whatever it is.
Oh, yeah.
And so I said, well, why don't you just get the Alamo one? It's $20 a month. And he said, oh, yeah, I'll do that. So he's going to switch to Alamo. Mm-hmm.
Nice. Yeah, I've been on the cusp of not sure whether my Alamo one's worth it because, like, I really only see two movies there a month anyway. So I'm like, I guess it's okay to keep having.
I can't, man, I have a hard time going to the other movie theaters, I'll be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah, just the commercials in front of Regal is insane. Oh.
Yeah, and they blend together now. Like, they have commercials in between the trailers, so you're like, oh, the movie's going to start. Oh.
Yep.
More Pepsi, more T-Mobile.
Yeah, I mean, I get that they're trying to make money, but come on. Come on.
Or, yeah, just change the like listing start time.
Yeah, they're already starting to get some backlash for it. I've been seeing, you know, it percolating.
It really is insane to be like, oh, plan your day around. Like, I'm going to see this movie at 10:50 and then I'll get out by this time. But, like, you know, it, if it was a consistent time of trailers, but
yeah,
so I could figure that in. But really, it's just like sometimes it's 30, sometimes it's 15. Like,
I don't know. Yeah, exactly. I don't know what I'm getting into. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I saw that Alamo's starting to do that Mystery Movie Monday, too. So that's good.
Yeah. So we'll see. Yeah. It's crazy times. Yeah. So I'm not on Twitter. Speaking of basketball, like, what? How did that movie madness shake out? Is that over?
It is. The finals, you know, what's funny is I didn't even look.
You're like, my movies are gone. Who cares?
No, I didn't make it out of the first round. But your Batman 89 made it to the finals.
So it's still going on? It's not done?
No. It ended. You lost to the Return of the Jedi.
Oh, shocker.
Yeah, I know. But you did have two movies make it to the final four. Your Back to the Future entry and Batman 89.
That's not bad. I say anything was. I think it was going to go far. It was Back to the Future, but yeah. Who had Return of the Jedi on their list? Do you think?
Of course, it's Corinne. And I found out because I asked her what Moots was, and I thought it was some Star Wars Bad Batch reference. Apparently, it's mutual followers on Twitter, which I guess I'm so old. I have no idea what she was talking about.
M F O T.
M O O T S Moots.
Mutual followers of Twitter?
Yeah, that would be Mafoots.
Yeah.
So we're not the stupid ones.
Yeah, you're the ones who are stupid.
Yeah. Please follow us on X and any other social media platform.
Weird.
But hey, nice run. My films were not popular. And I like I told earlier, I swore she did it on purpose.
Hey, if she needs it to feel good, then fine.
Yeah, because I'll be completely honest, I like Return of the Jedi, but it's by far one of the least Star Wars movies. I'm just saying.
It was my favorite in high school, but yeah, as a 42-year-old, it's not the best one for me anymore.
No, it's
not even the Ewoks. It's just like...
No, the Ewoks I don't care about. It's just the rest of it is, you know...
A rehash of the first movie?
Yeah. And I mean, it's hard because I think it's still a good movie.
Yeah.
But when you, and what makes it, I think maybe what's tainted it a lot for me too, is you can't see it now without that dumb fucking singing part. And it's the one that was affected the most by George Lucas's whatever it is.
Yeah. He definitely got emboldened to recreate, like, yeah, throw the CGI stuff into that movie big time.
Yeah, but I am excited that Revenge of the Sith is coming back in theaters. I'm definitely going to see that.
Yeah, is that our movie of the week?
Oh, is it? Fuck, it might be. It might have to be. I don't know. Yeah. Have we ever done a review of Revenge of the Sith?
Other than Film Explosion, probably not. Like, it hasn't been in theaters since 2005, I don't think.
Yeah. Maybe. Just maybe.
I mean, we've done, like... Raiders as a week thing. So we have done like re-releases as a featured movie before, but it seems like we're getting to a point where all the good stuff's coming out. So there might be something big that week.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they released 3 new movies this week, and then, I mean, next week, who gives a flying fuck, you know? Oh, no. Next week will be Sinners.
Okay.
But yeah, we can still make it. Star Wars, I'm down with it.
Yeah, it's not my favorite Star Wars, but I'm willing to give it a second chance.
But from my point of view, it's the best of the prequel trilogy.
It has the best dialogue.
I still love that movie.
Yeah, you do.
But yeah, cool. Here's the big news of the week.
It's real news.
So the big news is on X, Rod Stewart announced that he will never retire.
What a great movie.
Yeah.
Actually, should they be getting around to, like, the Rod Stewart biopic at this point? Like,
well, you know what I always said? It's kind of hard for his, because he doesn't have, like, he was never in rehab.
He doesn't descend into all this typical rock star stuff. Yeah.
No, all his kids like him. He's had, you know, number one albums for in each decade for 60 years. He's never... you know, where Elton John had that period of his career where he was, you know, abusing drugs and all that stuff. Rodster doesn't really have that.
Yeah. Well, I guess they made, like, the Bob Dylan one wasn't, like, too dramatic either, so.
Yeah, I mean.
It can be done.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, obviously I love Rod Stewart, but it seems like he is super popular, but he's kind of an afterthought when it comes to. You know, when you compare people to the upper echelon of rock stars, mm-hmm. even though he's, you know, sold over 250 million records and continues to sell out arenas in his, now he's 80 years old, but I don't know what the dramatic hook would be of it, you know?
Nothing with the Faces?
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could do a Faces one. I mean, at the end of the day, they started becoming super jealous of his, I guess maybe that would be it. I guess you would just do it, you know, in 1973 and just do the night where they break up or something. I guess that's really the only thing you could do.
Yeah.
But they became super jealous of his, you know, solo success.
Yeah, see, I guess that's the angle you could go because, yeah. Like I said, the Dylan one, like, really, it's like, do I want to sell out or not? Like, that's the movie. and then, like, it's really just, I think, till the 60s, and then you don't really follow anything after that.
Yeah.
Or like, I guess, like Bohemian Rhapsody, like it just goes up to that concert, right?
It does. And I guess too, I mean, in Bohemian Rhapsody, I remember watching it and I thought it was some of the worst dialogue. I couldn't believe this movie was as popular as it was. You know, when Mike Myers plays the record exec where he's, no one's ever going to remember Queen. Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, you could do the Faces where it's like a guy struggling with, like, he wants the band to stay together, but like their jealousy is pushing him away.
Yeah. I guess, yeah. See, we just cracked it. Hollywood, call us.
Yeah.
We're so smart.
And also, like, you know, we're in our, like, he's like of our era, you know, like how movies are tapping into like our generation's nostalgia.
Yeah.
So it could work.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's right. He's got to find the emotional core. He does have he has the second autobiography coming out.
Yeah.
That I haven't even heard about. And then just randomly, someone in the Facebook fan club says, hey, has anyone heard about this? And then I went on to the website of the publisher, and sure enough, comes out in November.
So obviously the movie's going to be called Forever Young.
But oh, of course.
Who would you cast as Rod Stewart?
There's only one. I don't even know.
You can't see anyone in that role. Just have to
I'd have to actually like
just really de-age Rod Stewart. Just have him do it.
Yeah, CGI him.
Yeah.
I'd have to really think about that one. I don't know, that's a good question.
Timothy Chalamet, obviously.
Oh yeah, totes. Yeah, I don't know. Someone who sees a lot of British actors, let me know who would play Rod Stewart. hey, we watch movies throughout the week in a segment I call What We've Been Watching.
So, yeah, this is the stuff we've been watching.
Brad, what'd you watch this week?
Let's see. Did I talk about Hell of a Summer last week?
No, that was, you were going to see that when we signed off.
Gotcha. Okay, so that's where I'll start. Yeah, I saw Hell of a Summer, which is the kids from Stranger Things directed a movie about a murderer at a summer camp. And it's kind of fun. All the humor just kind of comes from the characters. But they're also, like, so young. Like, their kind of humor is a little lost on me, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But it's mostly about this one guy who has been going to summer camp into his early 20s and has probably should have gone on to college by now, but he sticks around because he's like really into summer camp. And meanwhile, this one, the new season starts and he comes back and there's already been two deaths that he doesn't know about. And then the night they do initiation or whatever, their friends start getting picked off and like, that's about it. Like, a bunch of people start disappearing and murder, like, standard slasher camp stuff.
I mean, the trailer's really fun.
The trailer is fun, and like I said, it is fun. Like, the character, they do spend a lot of time with the characters, like, making jokes and reacting to things. The only thing is, like, there's a part of the movie that if I hadn't seen Heart Eyes already, it might have been more surprising. So, yeah. It kind of ruined that. The ending reveal kind of was ruined for me. So, I also saw The Luckiest Man in America, which is about...
Remind me of that one?
That's about, apparently, I didn't know this, the show Press Your Luck, right? The, you know, No Whammies game show?
Yeah.
From the 80s. There was this guy who went on, and he won a bunch of money, and they had to, like, extend the episode because he kept winning. Because he memorized all the patterns of the game.
Hmm.
So yeah, he's like this ice cream truck driver who wanders into LA, really like, aw shucks, like I'm just like a mid-America nobody who's just here to have fun. And then he gets on the game show and just starts like, you know, he loses a couple rounds and then just like turns it on and like, you know, his game show contestant competitors are just like so bummed out. Like, he just keeps winning and winning, winning, and they're stuck there because they have to finish the episode, but he keeps winning. And then like the guys in the booth are like, I think he knows the patterns. And so they have to do this investigation while he's on the show to figure out what's going on. And then you find out like, is he like malicious or, you know, is he just like a hapless goofball, who just like is just, winning. So yeah, it's a fun, like, in the way that I enjoyed, like, Saturday Night is, like, being this behind-the-scenes of television production.
Yeah.
This is kind of that, too. It's really fun to see, like, the background of, you know, this game show trying to, like, do the show, also trying to not lose a ton of money. Like, you know, all the guys in the booth are getting nervous because he's, like, over $100,000. And, you know, in, like, 1984, whatever it is, like, you know, inflation, that's a huge amount of money for this show that like people usually win like $5,000 on. So yeah, the studios are like coming down. The guy like, are you kidding me? You only programmed like 5 patterns into this thing. What's wrong with you? Like, we only have so much budget. Not our fault. Like, yeah. So yeah, I enjoyed that a lot. And then I also watched the, Conversation.
Yeah. That's an old one.
Yeah. Which I, pretty sure I'd seen before, but as I was watching, I was like, I'm not sure, maybe I didn't see this before, but then the end shows up and I'm like, oh yeah, I did see this before.
See, we just talked about that earlier today.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's way slower than I remember, and meandering. Not surprising when it's Coppola not doing The Godfather.
Burn.
Yeah. See Megalopolis or whatever. But yeah, it's the ending does pull it together, and it's crazy to see, like, you know, Harrison Ford, like, in the 70s, you know?
Yeah.
He's in it and stuff. There's a couple other people, but yeah, it's just, like, really slow. Like, could probably be an A24 movie today, I guess. There's, like, this dream sequence in it, too. But yeah, it's just about this guy who's a guy who he's not really a spy, but he just records conversations for people who pay him. And mm-hmm. then like all he cares about is the recording. He doesn't care about the content of it. But in this case, he's like paying attention to the content of it. And once he realizes, I guess like in the past, his job got someone killed over it. And so now he's struggling with like, you know, I don't want that to happen again. So do I give this audio to this guy who paid me, or do I like investigate it myself? And so, yeah, that's what the whole thing is. I was really more curious because like the Lionsgate Limited has this really cool box set of it, where you have like an audio tape and some other like collectible stuff in it. It's like a really nice set, but it's like $80. I was like, how much do I love the conversation to own this? And after watching, I was like, oh my God, like it's just the box set that's cool. Like I'd probably never watch it again, but it's not a terrible movie, but it's just like, oh, it's a tough sit.
The curse of being a collector.
Yeah. I'll probably pass, but it is pretty cool. What'd you watch?
So I've been watching The Office still. I love the kind of the turn, maybe halfway through the fifth season, and I just finished the sixth, of Kevin being more featured. I don't know, I just love because I just watched the one where Gabe suspends Pam and Jim, and Kevin goes, "Yes, C is for suspension." It's just stupid and funny. And, you know, the part where Michael spreads rumors about everybody and Andy is getting tea, and Kevin says, "Drinking tea, huh?" He says, "Yeah, I like it." "Oh, I bet you do." "If you like it as much as you like men's butts."
What?
The whole episode, Andy is wondering if he's gay or not.
Yeah. He's like so relieved at the end. Like, oh, okay.
It's just ridiculous. And just the character arcs, it's just fun.
He's talking to movies, Oscar. He's just like, you might be gay. Yeah, really gay.
And he confuses him more.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause even Oscar has a fun moment in that where, you know, the Cookie Monster bit, and then he makes the count from Sesame Street is Oscar, and no one gets it. And Oscar says, "Why don't you make me Oscar the Grouch or something?" And Michael comes by and just totally validates what Kevin was doing, saying how funny it is.
Yeah.
It's great. This show's wonderful. On the movie side, my kid wanted to watch a scary fun movie. So, I chose Night of the Creeps, which is rated R.
But you're going to say Sorority House Massacre.
Oh yeah, no. It is rated R, but it's like a 80s rated R, where it's not like that out of control, you know, when you look back at what we've seen now since then.
It's from when they had G, PG, and R.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not like, it's fun and it's funny. Fred Decker wrote it and directed it, so you know, it has that kind of Monster Squad vibe. And Kellen was stoked because there is a Monster Squad Easter egg in the movie, because Kellen loves the Monster Squad like I do. And so he saw that and he was excited, and he liked that there was zombies in it, but they're not, you know, when they get their heads blown off, just bugs fall out of it. It's not brains and shit. So he had fun with it, and it's a really fun movie. I got the Scream Factory 4K of it, and I've been collecting Blu-rays so long that, I mean, I have the standard Blu-ray from Scream Factory, and I didn't know if I wanted to upgrade it until I saw they have a feature-length documentary new on this one. I said, okay, you know, that's another hour and 40 minutes that I get to watch the movie, so I'll do that. And the new scan is incredible, but the one that Scream Factory originally released came out 10 years ago. I go, man, it does not seem like that it was that long ago.
Nope.
And I guess it's time for it to be an upgrade. So yeah, that was really fun. All the new documentary on the disc is great. The new interview with Fred Decker and his filmography is really great. So yeah, if you don't have it, or if you're considering an upgrade, it's worth it. I think it's $28, and it's a new 4K scan from the original 35 millimeter camera negative. So it looks fantastic. And nice to see that a movie that barely made $1 million has a 4K like collector's edition release. I also watched the 4K Weird Science from Arrow Video. And that movie's still really funny, but it makes absolutely no sense. I don't understand how they made this woman. I don't understand her powers. I don't understand how she can turn Chet into whatever he is in the movie. But it's still like a fun 80s movie. And that's a PG-13 one, and there's lots of nudity in it.
Yeah.
And I go, man, I guess they just, you know, it's almost, you know, when you have a James Cameron PG-13 movie where it's pretty violent and there's lots of cuss words, if it was anybody else, it wouldn't be PG-13. And I guess because it's John Hughes, but it's silly and it's fun. It's one of a it's a really early Robert Downey Jr. movie. In fact, I think he's credited as just Robert Downey in it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's about two guys who make the perfect woman, and she's able to turn cars into Porsches and turn people into stuff. And yeah, it's just, like, it doesn't, you know what I mean? It doesn't make sense. I don't understand the rules for the woman they create.
Yeah. Not that I need to, it's just like lightning strikes the computer or whatever.
I
watched it like last year and I don't remember most of it. So
yeah,
that's how memorable it is for me. But like the things I do remember, like, when Anthony Michael Hall's at like the jazz club, like, mm-hmm. I was like, probably shouldn't do that.
No, where he's doing, I don't know what you would call it, but
yeah, it's not blackface, but it's like,
no, it's, but it's like African American yeah. voice. I don't know what you would call it, but
yeah. And it's not like a line. It's like a whole scene.
Oh no, it's definitely like 5 or 6 minutes of him. Yeah. But he gives himself a lisp while he's doing it. I don't know what he's doing.
Yeah. It feels like an outtake that they left in the movie.
Yeah, it is definitely an odd choice. For sure. Yeah. But, you know, it's a favorite of mine growing up, and I still have fun with it. You know, the nuclear bomb that pops up at one point, I don't understand. You know, and then all this happens, and they're able to fix their house, and, you know, she kills that one dude's grandparents for some reason. But she doesn't. Yeah. I don't know. It's a weird, it's a weird movie, but it's fun. Oh, yeah. And the last thing I watched was Sorority House Massacre, which I've never seen for some reason. When that was being released on 4K, I kept on getting it mixed with Slumber Party Massacre, which I saw last year at Dismember the Alamo. And that
was literally just thinking that. Like, I was like, which sorority house? Like, it seems like there's so many of them.
Because I also have House on Sorority Row.
Yep, there's that too.
But Slumber Party Massacre, was it Slumber Party? Maybe it's not Summer Park. It seriously trips me up every time I think about it.
I've seen so many cover arts for these movies. It's, yeah.
Yeah, and they're literally the same thing. You know what I mean? But anyways, this one, it's from 1986, and it takes a lot from all the other slashers. There's an element of Friday the 13th, Halloween, and A Nightmare on Elm Street. Basically, it revolves around this woman trying to get into a sorority. And she is psychically linked to a killer. And when she does that, it gives her nightmares. And the nightmares sometimes seem too real. And, you know, so there's a part where she gets cut in her nightmare. And then she's cut in real life. And so it just has that. Like, they were trying to capitalize on the Nightmare on Elm Street stuff while trying to keep the Friday the 13th thing going, too. And, yeah, it's, like, the acting isn't that great in it, but the director is the writer, and she actually does a pretty good job of building suspense in it. And, yeah, I mean, there's no mystery on who the killer is at all. It's this dude who's in a psych ward, and he gets out and he goes after this girl because he's linked to her psychically, and along the way he kills people, and some of the deaths are pretty brutal. It's just a lot of stabbing. But the director, her name's Carol something, but she does a pretty good job of building the tension and keeping – it's definitely low budget. It's a Roger Corman movie, and it only has two locations. So she does a lot with very little what she's given. And what was cool is the main actress does this video essay special feature on it, and she became – a property master on stuff like The Flash and Aquaman and all these really big movies. So she kind of went a different path in her career. It's pretty cool. She was talking about it. Well, in the visual essay, she said, the most important thing for an actor is a director who lets you kind of be the character. I was on this big DC comic movie as the property master. So I totally had to look her up then. Yeah. And it was Aquaman and The Flash. So, it's kind of cool seeing her do that. Usually people want to stay in the acting, but obviously she liked being behind the scenes. But yeah, it's fine. The first half of it is this weird, like teen comedy movie. There's literally a part in it where the girls say, "Hey, our rich friend's not here. You know what that means? Closet party." And they go in there and put on all her clothes, and it gives you an excuse to see boobs. So, you know, straight 80s style.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's an all right movie. It's not great, but it's another movie that got the 4K treatment. It looks great. It sounds great. The special features are really good on it. I respect that. And that's what I watched this week. Cool. Next week, Brad, we'll be seeing Sinners, and possibly Revenge of the Sith. Which one do you want to do, Brad? This is your podcast, too. Would you rather do Sinners or Revenge of the Sith?
I think I'd rather do Sinners. It's new. It's what people are wanting to listen for. We've talked about episode 3 before, so in other incarnations. So we don't have to kick out a new film to make room for that.
Perfect. Well, that sounds fun. Until next week, we'll see you at the movies. Oh, wait, we're not seeing Sinners next week. This week is Drop.
Whoa. Slow down. Back it up.
I just keep on seeing the previews for Sinners, and they're saying it's great. Drop will be our movie of the week next week. The following week will be Sinners.
Cool. That works.
All right. See ya. Well, a real nerd knows who shot a real nerd. Can follow the plot of a real nerd.
Thanks for listening to Real Nerds Podcast, a Nebulous Visions production. Stream or download episodes, read articles at realnerdspodcast.com. Stream us on Apple or Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or iHeartRadio. Follow us on Facebook, Real Nerds Podcast. Twitter and Instagram, at Real Nerds. Watch us on YouTube, Real Nerds Podcast. Email us at realnerds@gmail.com. Call us at 720-6NERDS5. Thank you to Sparks Mandrill, Mike at Plan 9 Studios, and Bolognium for all of our groovy theme songs. And that's how you fucking do it!